I want to read some things and talk to you about what's on my heart about Paul. And you think about Paul, and we are to follow him, and we follow the Apostle Paul, and because that's what he said to. And look what he said in 2 Timothy in chapter 2. Paul, over and over, and we're going to look at some scriptures of him telling the body of Christ to follow him. And when we read these, his letters, he's wrote these, and we read them as he's writing to us, members of the body of Christ, for he is. And you see all of these scriptures that I'm going to read, then it must be important for the members of the body of Christ to follow Paul. Now look at in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. Consider what Peter says. No, it didn't say that, did it? Don't say the 12. It didn't say James or John. He didn't tell Timothy to consider what Jesus said. He said, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now the all things there is the things that he said. God will give you understanding what Paul said to you. And that you don't understand, you must believe. If you don't believe it, then the light will stop. And the Lord will not hold you accountable for that you don't understand, but he will hold you accountable for that you don't believe. And so believing is very important. And what is faith anyway? Faith is simply taking God at his word. Faith is believing and being persuaded that God will do what he said he'll do. In fact, hang on to Timothy and turn back to Romans and look in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Verse 3 it says, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it, his belief, was counted unto him for righteousness. Notice verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. His belief. Very important to believe. Now come on down with me and look in verse 20. And you got to remember, Abraham is 100 years old, and God told him he's going to have a son. Sarah was 90 years old. Whenever the Lord told them, they laughed. You would too. And there's nobody here close to 100. None of the men. If God told you you was going to have another son, and your wife was 90 years old and you're 100 years old, wouldn't you laugh? As far as the flesh is, you would. It would be a total impossibility. Look what he said. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Romans 4:21. And here's the verse. and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That's faith. Faith is being persuaded in your mind, not looking at the circumstances. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are, but being fully persuaded in your mind that God will do what he said he'll do. He's able to perform. Hebrews says, in fact, we'll just turn over there. Notice in Hebrews, we're coming back to Timothy. Notice in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Is it possible to please God if you don't believe what God says? Not possible. He said, without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You must come the way God tells you to come, and you must believe that he is able to do what he said he'll do. Now, you know, I think about that. I think about the night I came to the Lord. I came to the Lord in faith, knowing that he was God, that he was the Savior, and he rewarded me. Faith is, it's like the hand that receives the promise. Faith is simply believing what God has said. And I assume, and I hope I'm right, that the majority of people in here that's listening, somewhere in your life you have trusted Christ as a sinner. You realized you was lost. You realized that you needed a Savior. And you came to the Lord for salvation. And you knew he died for you. He died on the cross for your sins and was buried, and God had raised him for your justification. You heard that message. You heard the gospel somewhere in your life, and you knew he was the one, and you came to him for salvation, and God saved you, and you were saved by faith. You believed that he would do it. Then how come you can't have faith believing that he'll fulfill the rest of his word to you? You know, it's fascinating. We can put our soul, as Kevin was talking about the soul, we can put our soul and our spirit into the hands of him and turn over our eternal destiny out there and rely upon him for salvation from his wrath, believing that he's going to do what he said he'll do. He said he saved us from the wrath to come. We can trust him for our eternity and our salvation, yet we can't trust him for tomorrow's goods. Isn't that fascinating how people are? Look with me and notice Paul, back to the passage. Paul, faith is just believing God will do what he said he'll do. Now, notice what he said in verse, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Notice verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, because of the gospel, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Now, I want you to know that he said, remember, according to my gospel, consider what I say. The Lord give thee understanding. Notice also, turn back with me to, and notice in chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, notice what he said. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's a sign right there, man. People talk about signs to the rapture. If you want a sign to the rapture of the church, the coming of the Lord for the body of Christ, that's it right there. That's one of them. Why? Evil men and seducers would wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. What's deceiving the world today? Religion. Why is it evil? Because it's hurting people. Religion today hurts people. Religion today deceives people. Religion today makes people think that they're all right and they're not all right. Religion today puts the work on the man that he's got to be good. He must keep the commandments. He's got to be keep the golden rule. He's got to do this, do that, or God won't accept you. That's evil. You know what evil is in the Bible? Evil has to do with things that torment, things that hurt people mentally and physically. Have you never read in the Scripture where the Lord repented of the evil He thought to do to them? What was He going to do? He was going to hurt them. Evil today, in the context, He's talking about evil men and seducers. That's religion, folks. That's not some man running a shell game out here on the street taking your money. That's not the evil of the day. The evil of the day is the damning the souls into the lake of fire, making them believe that they have salvation in some religion instead of the Lord. And buddy, we're more religious today than anything you ever seen. And yet, we have more churches today than we've ever had. And people are in worse shape than they've ever been. Look what he said in verse 14. He said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, the things. Consider, he said, remember, look what back in chapter 1 he said there, chapter 2, verse 7, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. In chapter 3, verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Folks, you're to consider what Paul said. You are to remember what Paul preached to you, and you're to continue in what Paul brought to you as the revelation of the doctrine for the body of Christ. Now, you know what happens? The first thing when people go into apostasy, look what he said in 1 Timothy. And look with me in chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, I know from the verse that the faith has to do with doctrines, because the contrast is the evil spirits, seducing spirits, and the doctrines of devils. They leave the faith and go into these doctrines that's being preached in religion, and they're departing from the faith. You know who they depart from? Not Jesus Christ. Look with me and go to Galatians. Come and hang on to Timothy and go over to Galatians. And the first step in apostasy, and folks, we're living in that time. I'm talking about, we want to know how close we are to the coming of the Lord. Paul gives you signs of that rapture all through here. Look in Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, notice what he said. Verse 4, a reference to Christ who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, who called them? Come on, folks. Who called them? Paul called them. Do you know what they're doing? They're going away from Paul's message. He said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Well, Paul's gospel is what they removed from. And they was being drawn away from the message of Paul. They were departing from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and these spirits are in men. And they're preaching. If I stand up here today and I would read Acts 2:38 and tell you to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If I told you you had to be baptized to get forgiveness of sins, I'd be speaking evil to you, and I would be lying to you, and it would be a doctrine of the devil. And it's right out of the Bible. Folks, consider Paul. Keep in mind what Paul said. Turn with me and go to Philippians and look in Philippians. You know, I think about Paul and the gospel, and I think about the people that helped him. And Philippians chapter 4 gives you an insight into some of the people that you don't even know their names, but they helped Paul. Notice what he said in verse, I'm just going to read verse 2. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellows, help those women which labor with me in the church, the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Folks, Paul said to those women, they labor with him in the gospel. You ladies have a part, you have a work to be done, and it's in the gospel of Christ. And we're to follow Paul, you men. We're to follow him. We're to be in the same mind. Look what he said in chapter 1. He said in chapter 1 of Philippians, he said, verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Don't let them scare you. Don't let them bring, don't let them keep you from getting the gospel out. He said, in nothing terrified you by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition. The word perdition there is destruction. They see you get scared. They see you that they're making you afraid, your adversaries. They know they're destroying you. How many times had God wanted you to witness to somebody and you got scared and you didn't do it? They got the best of you. God might have wanted you to present the gospel to somebody, and your heart gets to beating, the flesh don't want to, and you're afraid of rejection. You're afraid that they might say something to you. You don't want no confrontation, or it might jeopardize your standing with them or with your business or whatever, and you keep your mouth shut. They won the battle. They terrified you. Look what he said. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. You know, Satan ain't going to bother you if you ain't. You know, that's one of the good signs that you're saved. If your adversaries is trying to scare you. But look on. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. And having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. Paul suffered for what? He suffered for the church. He suffered for the gospel. And let me tell you something. If you stand with Paul and follow Paul, you're going to suffer with him and you're going to suffer for it. They're going to call you names and whatever. You try to do that that's right, you'll suffer. But he said we're to stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving for the faith of the gospel. Don't be removed from Paul and his gospel. He said, remember that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Why is that? Because Peter and the 12, they was preaching that he was raised from the dead to sit upon the throne of David. They were preaching a different gospel. They were preaching the gospel of the circumcision. And Paul preached to the Gentiles. He preached the gospel of Christ. What is that gospel? That God died for all men. That God would have all men to be saved. That Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for the sins of the world. And He died for our sins and was buried. And God raised Him the third day for our justification. And that's how we have salvation. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. We have loved ones that's lost in our family. They need the gospel. They need to hear the gospel. They don't need the believers of the gospel to keep their mouths shut because they're a little afraid that they might upset them. Well, they need to be upset. They need to have their eyes open. There's only one way. That's through Paul. Now look with me while we are. Let me notice. Let's see. Let me get back there. Go back to Timothy. I'll tell you what. Go over to 1 Corinthians in chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And notice Paul, we're to consider him, where to remember, where to continue. Now, is Peter and them important? They sure are. Did they have a ministry? They sure did. Were they in Christ? Yes, they was. Are they going to be in heaven and have an inheritance with Christ? Yes, they will. Their ministry is very important to the nation Israel. And there is no competition between Peter and his group and Paul and the body of Christ. There are two separate ministries. There are two separate gospels. And we're traveling two separate paths. And they'll never cross and be apart. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. Although ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of who? Me. Did Paul tell them to follow him? Why? There was a division in this church. Look back in chapter 3. In chapter 3, he said in verse 3, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one says, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? Look back with me in chapter 1. He said in chapter 1, he said in verse down there in verse 11, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, that's Peter, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? They were following men. They were divided, just like the body of Christ is divided today. And I want to tell you something. Denominationism is a sign of carnality. Look in chapter 4. In chapter 4, Paul says, notice what he said in verse 6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself unto Apollos for your sake, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. Look over in the chapter, back in chapter 4 again, verse 16, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Verse 17, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. His ways, his doctrine. Folks, we don't follow his life. That's what he was getting on the Corinthians for when he said, some say I'm a Paul. They were trying to imitate Paul. No, we're not to imitate Paul. We're to follow the revelation that God gave to Paul. We're to follow the faith. We're to know his ways. That's why I teach doctrine so strong. Doctrine of Paul. Doctrine, what he said. Why? It's that doctrine that will save you from going away from Paul and going into apostasy. Look back. Look over. Let's just try something. I'll tell you what. Go back to Philippians. And notice in Philippians chapter 3. Notice what he says in verse 17. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Do you know who the enemy of the cross of Christ is? It's the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of iniquity is set in contrast with the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness is the body of Christ. Then there is a mystery of iniquity. It's a false church in this world today, and it's made up of different religions. And it's iniquity. Good night. Say, well, you think you're the only one right? Nope. But I got the right book. And I preach the right gospel. I do know that. Because it's based upon the right book. And I follow the right apostle. He said there, look what he said, they're enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation, our manner of life, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Folks, there don't... They're enemies of the cross of Christ. Their God is their flesh. Their God is their belly. Look at a parallel passage to that. Look, hang on to Philippians. Turn back to Romans. And look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. I believe I told you wrong. Chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, notice in verse 17. Romans 16, 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. He didn't say try to win them. He didn't say be nice. He said to avoid them. You know how you get out of false doctrine? You don't even go around them. You avoid them. He said, avoid them. He said, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Now, you know something? You know what simple is? It's not, as we thought, somebody simple that is uneducated or something like that, or they just can't learn. No, no, no. Simple is common. Look with me over in Revelation. And I'm getting off track, but I want you to see they deceive the hearts of the simple. Notice in Revelation. Notice in verse chapter 2, verse 6. Now this is a tribulation passage. Now notice this thing. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Look in verse 15. In verse 15, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Now, the word, that is not English. They transliterated it. In other words, there is no English word for that Greek word. So it's the same word. Now notice what he said. You know what it means? Nikola means to conquer. Laity, it means common, ordinary people. Do you know what the doctrine of the Nicolaitans are? They conquer ordinary people. They, with fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple, the ordinary people, and get them under their control and get them where they want them in their religion. And that's the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, and it's the mystery of iniquity. It's what's going on in the world today. That ain't all. Look back with me to Isaiah. And I don't know why I'm getting on the Nicolaitan, but look in Isaiah chapter 25. Isaiah chapter 25. There in this verse here, and I've been studying this verse, trying to get a sermon out of this verse. But I want you to know, verse 7. Let's go back to verse 7 to do it. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. And Paul quotes verse 8 in 1 Corinthians 15. He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away all tears from all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. That's the second coming of Christ. But verse 7, there is a covering, there is a veil that's over the people. It's though the God of this world has spread a blanket over this world, and it's a blanket of religion, and they're deceived and they're conquered by that religion. God said the only way is going to keep you from happening, staying away from it, and your children. Look in 2 Timothy, or 1 Timothy. And if we don't follow Paul, and by fair speeches, and they deceive the hearts of the faith, you can turn on the boob tube and hear it all. The Bible says they that are highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. I'm thinking about one man now that's highly esteemed. I just saw him on Dr. Oz not long ago. He brings in over $70 million a year in his ministry. When I read that, it just blew my mind. Pastors the largest church in America. Never does preach the gospel of Christ. You think there's not a veil over those people? Do you not realize if our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost? Paul used that right after he wrote 2 Corinthians 3, and he talked about the veil that was over their eyes. What veil was over the Israel's eyes that they could not see Jesus? Their religion. And I hear this man, smooth words, fair speeches, talks about how to be a better you and how God wants you to be a better person. and on the thing goes. This man, I learned this the other week, he also charges $5 to park in the parking lot to come in there to hear him for parking. And thousands of people. Folks, I believe the coming of the Lord is close. You say you believe he's saved. I don't know his heart. By his words, by their fruit you will know. A man's justified by the words that come out of his mouth. By the words that I hear coming out of his mouth, I don't believe he's saved. But he's highly esteemed. I bet you y'all know who I'm talking about. And it's just not him. There's probably anyway, look in 1 Timothy. And notice in 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Notice what he says. Come on down with me to verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving to them which believe and know the truth. Do you know any religions today that forbids people to marry and they command people to abstain from certain meats and you can just go on down the list? And they talk that's their doctrine? Notice what he said in verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast obtained. Well, how did he obtain them? Through Paul. I read you the verse. But come on down with me. He said there in verse 16. Well, let's see. Go to verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Save them from what? From that apostasy of verse 1. Save them from the false doctrine. Save them from the religion of the world. Save them from having a veil put over their eyes. I got members of my own family's got a veil over their eyes. They won't see the truth of the Word of God rightly divided. They won't see that Paul is their apostle. They won't see the remember that Paul and consider what Paul says and follow Paul as he said Paul following. They will not. They're blind. What can you do? You just do what he said. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. chapter 2. He said in chapter 2, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things. You go through his 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and just circle the things where he mentions the things. Consider the things. They're the things that Paul brought from the Lord that make up the faith. But he said, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same. Well, what's the same? The things. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Well, how do you know if they're faithful? You don't. Only the Lord knows. So what do? You just go on and do it. Notice, come over with me to verse chapter 4. in chapter 4. Verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. The teachers have the itching ears, and they want to be scratched by the congregation, so the preachers preach an ear-tickling message, and they preach fables, and they preach stories, and they don't preach doctrine. They preach love, God, that mushy, coping, sharing message, and we to share, love one another, and do good unto others as we would want to be done, and on the thing goes. Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Where do they get the truth? Paul. And shall be turned unto fables. Folks, what are we to do? We're to keep preaching these things. And we're to preach them and teach them. And we're to strive together, men and women. And ladies, if you got a husband and he don't want to do it, get him in gear. You know, you ladies have got power. You know that, don't you? Now, you don't get him in gear by nagging at him. You got a faucet that's you want done, something you want done in the house, you know how to get him to do it. You don't get him to do it, but when you going to do that? When you going to do that? Why don't you get that done? Why don't you do it? No. That ain't the way to do it. Just use a faucet for an example. You someday, when you know he's about to come in or when he's coming in, get you a big old pipe wrench or a wrench and you crawl under that thing and you, oh, I can't get that. Oh. And he'll say, I'll move over. Let me do that. And you get it done. You know that. Say, so, well, mine just kick my feet out of the way and keep on going. No, he won't. All I'm trying to get you to see is all of us working, striving for the things of Paul to get the message out, the gospel out, so people can be saved. Follow Paul. He's your apostle. Consider him. Remember what he said. And do. And God will bless you and honor you in your life. Thank you for being here, and hope you got something out of it.